You know, one thing I've noticed is that the older I get, and I try to deny that I'm getting older, so this is also a bit of honesty for me here this morning. The more I experience as a parent, the more I appreciate what my parents did for me. Can anybody identify with that? Being on the other side of this looks a bit different, and you appreciate all the things that our parents did for us. So my respect for parents who are ahead of me on this journey, my appreciation and respect for you continues to go up, because I see more and more how difficult and challenging this journey of parenting is. The sacrifice of marriage, the sacrifice of parenting, the caring for a family through this amazing journey we call life never ceases to amaze me. You think about all the costs that are involved. Of course, you got financial costs of raising kids. They say it's over $1.5 million. They say that daughters cost about 18% more in clothing, but that's a separate issue. And then there's the emotional costs. And the ups and downs, the roller coaster ride, the wanting to squeeze and hug them 1 minute and spank them the other minute. And one person said, the key to parenting is knowing which end to pat and when to pat it. And I would say that's very true. And so it becomes very interesting. And the Brown family has had a big week over this past week. And we had Jordan and Tylen get married Saturday a week ago. And it was a great celebration, and we wish all of you could have been there with us. You guys are family to us, and it was an amazing day. And then yesterday, our youngest graduated from high school. So you think about the transitions of life and all that we go through. Again, life does not disappoint and continues to amaze me in this journey. And so we're in this series called Relationship Status. And we've talked about single, looking, dating, married, and now parenting. We're going to talk about parenting. Nothing compares to the job of parenting. No career, no job. The awesome responsibility of raising another human being. It's not by accident that this journey starts with a process called labor. That just makes sense, doesn't it? And the problem with parenting is that once you get experienced at this, you're then out of a job. But what does it take to have a good family? What does it take to raise good kids? What does it take to bring out the best in your children? Well, here's the good news. It doesn't take being a perfect parent. There are no perfect parents, but it does take some wisdom. It does take some knowledge. It does take some understanding. And in Proverbs chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, it says this, by wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established, and through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. The scriptures give us wisdom on this. It takes wisdom to build a house. It takes some understanding to establish it. It takes some knowledge. And God has given us a guide for this, his scripture. And when we take his wisdom and his understanding and his knowledge and apply it to our lives and to our families, we can raise great kids and just be good parents. You don't have to be a perfect parent to raise great kids. And that's the beauty of this. You could still be flawed, but in the process with God changing you and end up with some really great kids. There's one man that had no kids and 6 theories on how to raise them. Later, he had 6 kids and no theories. But God has given us the wisdom on how to raise children. He's given us the guidebook. So this morning, I want to give you 4 keys to having a healthy family, 4 keys to raising healthy children. These 4 right here. We could add more to this, but I think this is a good starting point this morning, a good basic start, that if we would work on these 4, I think we'd be well on our way to having a healthy family, not a perfect family, but a healthy family where our kids can grow and thrive and develop and become all that God has called them to be. So we're going to jump into this morning and talk about each one of these. So let's jump in. And really, these apply to any relationship that we have. If we apply these, they work in any relationship. Let's jump into the first one, a shelter from the storms of life. The first thing, the first key to having a healthy family is recognize that a family should be a shelter from the storms. It's a place of protection. It's a place of stability. It's a place of refuge and security. As Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26 says, those who fear the Lord are secure. He will be a refuge for their children. We need to recognize that our families should be a shelter from the storm. The problem is that many times, the shelter from the storm becomes the center of the storm. And that's what we have to guard against. So there's many storms in life that we encounter, that we need a shelter, we need a refuge that we can go to. You think about the first one is change. We go through a lot of changes in life. And we need a place that there's a shelter, a safe place, a refuge that we can go to. That should be home. How about failure? We fail in life over and over again in different areas. And having a safe place to come to helps us deal with those failures. We can handle failure better when we can come home to a hug. When we learn that we don't always win. And life isn't always fair, but we should get back up and try again. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10 says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to the one who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. See, family members are fans even when you're having a losing season. That's the power of family. How about rejection? That's another storm that we go through, rejection. And we know we've all been criticized. We all have people who have maybe disliked us, didn't like us, maybe hated us. We know that as children, kids can be cruel. We all could probably remember times in our life years ago when we were younger where we were mistreated by other kids, maybe called names, made fun of. Rejection is a storm that we go through, and our home should be a safe place from the storms of rejection. Why is it that many of the games we played when we were growing up, that home was the safe place? There was home base and you were safe there. Because home should be a place that is safe, that is secure from the storms of life. Rejection. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says this, and one standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three is even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. We need our homes to be a shelter from the storm. And so our response this morning that we should demonstrate love to our family. Do we do that on a regular basis? Do we demonstrate our love to those around us? Do we listen to them? Do we hear them? Do we hug them? Do we help them? Do we hear them? Do we listen to what our kids are saying? Do we listen? Do we have conversations with them? Do we hug them? Do we have appropriate contact and touch? Our kids need to be hugged. They need an arm around them. Sometimes the boys just need a punch in the shoulder, right? That's, you know, you guys with me, right? The guys, okay. You know, is there appropriate contact with our kids? Or do we just pass by in the home with no physical contact? And then do we help them? Many times the place of acceptance becomes the place of rejection. May that not be in our homes. Let our families be a shelter from the storms of life. Let's go into the second point here. A family is a learning center for life. We learn so much in the family. We learn how to walk. We learn how to talk. We learn how to drive a car. There's so many things that we learn in the context of a family. It is a learning center for life, whether we realize it or not. Psalm 144, verse 12 says, may our sons flourish in their youth like well-nurtured plants. Talk about them growing. May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved to beautify a beautiful palace. So it's a place of growth. It's a learning center for life. Home is where people grow. Home is where our children grow. And healthy families realize that we are made for more than just a bed and breakfast. That we are learning the foundations for life in the home. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 and through 39. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And he answered like this. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. It is in the home that we first learn to live this out, that we learn to love God with all that we have, and we learn to love our neighbor as ourself. Families are a learning center for life, and this is the big picture of life, and we should be learning that, our children should be learning that in the home. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4 says this, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Notice he's talking about fathers training and giving instruction in the Lord. The family is a learning center for life. Notice that we shouldn't exasperate them. Are we doing that? Are we exasperating them? Or are we training them? Are we educating them? Are we giving them instruction? And are we doing it in a way that they can get a hold of it, grasp it, and run with it? Are we giving it in a way that encourages them to move forward with that? Or we give it to them in a way that discourages them? Are we training? Is our home a learning center for life? The goal of training our kids is to take them from parent control to self-control to God control. That's our process. We're taking them from parent control to then self-control to God control. Our homes are a learning center for life. Think about the way Jesus grew when he was younger. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. So he grew in wisdom. He grew intellectually. He grew in stature. He grew physically. He grew in favor with God, meaning he grew spiritually. And then in favor with men, he grew relationally. When Jesus was younger, he was growing in these four areas as he was connected to his family, and our kids should be growing in these four areas also. Here's the thing. There are certain things your kids are going to leave home with. They are going to leave home with values. They're going to leave home with knowledge about relationships. They're going to leave home with character. The question is, what are they going to leave home with? What are they going to understand about relationships based upon living in your home? We're going to leave with a knowledge of relationships, whether it's good or whether it's bad. We will leave with that knowledge based upon how we handle the relationships in our home. We learn to relate to others first in the home. Whether good or bad, right or wrong, effective or ineffective, we learn how to relate to others in the home. And much of our happiness is dependent upon how well we can relate to others. So we better be teaching our kids how to relate to others well. We need to learn how to have good relationships in the home. We need to understand that relationships are worth saving, that they're worth working on, that forgiveness and trust are important values to hold and to have. Character. Much of what we picked up about life and our character is from the home. It's not just what is taught, but it's also what is caught. We can't tell them one thing and live another way and expect them to do what we say. Character is caught in the home. Meaning if we have kids, if you have kids in your home, your house is bugged 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They are listening and picking up on everything we say. Have you ever caught yourself like, you know, I've gone to Stacy before, I said, Zach or Jordan, they're saying this. Where'd they get that word from? Where are they getting this kind of saying from? Like, you say it all the time. What? I say that? You ever had that happen? Sometimes we say things we don't even realize we're saying it, but our kids pick up on it and they will repeat it. We are constantly teaching in our homes, whether we realize it or not. The question becomes, what are we teaching? Whether right or wrong, good or bad, we are teaching all the time. Our kids are a sponge and they are soaking it up. Our houses are bugged. They're watching us. They're watching how we act in different situations. They're watching how we control or not control our emotions and our feelings. They're learning about whether we're making a choice to be happy or we're letting the situations dictate whether we'll be happy. They're learning that from us. They're learning how we treat other people, how we treat people of the opposite sex. They are picking it up by watching us. How about values? What's important about money, sex, work, play, other people, time, God? They are learning values in the home based upon what we value. Whether our values are off base or whether they're right on, they're picking up those values. There's a saying, like father, like son. Part of that's because there's genetics in there, but also because it's environment. It's picked up. We learn it by hanging around the people that we're with. Character, we learn that in the home. Values, we learn in the home. Whether intentionally or unintentionally, we are constantly teaching values to our young people. And what a family is, it's a relay of values. We are passing the baton of values from one generation to the next. And that baton will be, again, passed on from the next generation to the next. The question is, what values are we passing on to our children? And are those the values we should be passing on? We are influencing generations. When you talk about raising our kids, we are influencing generations down the line because families are a passing of the baton. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 says this, and I've read this one before. We've talked about this one before. I'm going to talk about it a little bit differently this morning, but it says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." Now, what Moses is talking about here is being intentional about what we're teaching our kids. But the truth is we're constantly teaching them, whether intentionally or unintentionally. And a lot of this we're missing today because we're so tuned into TV or the internet, our devices, that we're missing some of this natural flow of life and how we pass our values on. They say that in a year's time, our kids are watching about 1,000 hours of TV and internet. 1,000 hours in 1 year. So by the time they're 18, they've amassed 18,000 hours. Of TV watching and internet usage. That's a huge amount. We wonder where our kids are getting values from. They estimate that by the time somebody's 65 years old, that you've had over nine years of solid internet and TV watching, day and night, 9+ years. And I think that's even higher now. On the flip side, just church once a week for 65 years is about 4 months worth of Bible teaching. Now, we wonder where our kids are getting values from. Here's the thing. This is why church on Sunday morning alone does not work for us. That's why it has to be a part of our lives daily. We've got to get God's word into us daily. We've got to pray daily. Because it's not enough just once a week. It's got to be daily. Because we're getting bombarded by our TVs and our phones, the internet, daily. We've got to get it in there daily. So what's our response to this? We think about that, you know, we need to evaluate our values. Our homes are a learning center for life. We need to evaluate our values. What am I teaching my kids by what I do, by what I say, by the way I act? What am I teaching my kids? Intentionally or unintentionally? Let's go to the third one. A family is a place to play. It's a place to have fun. Man, our family should be a format for fun, a haven for happiness. We should enjoy life and have good times with those closest to us. Here's what happens. Thriving families intentionally create an atmosphere of joy. Do we have that around our house? Do we laugh together? Do we play together? Do we delight in one another? Or do we make jokes at the expense of one another? Proverbs chapter 5, verse 18 says this, "May your fountain be blessed and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth." Are we enjoying those closest to us? Are we laughing through life with them? Proverbs 7, not at them, but with them, right? Proverbs 17, 22, "A cheerful heart is a good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." Here's what I believe. I believe a family that plays together stays together. Right? We need to learn to have fun with our kids. One of our favorite shows when our kids were younger was America's Funniest Home Videos. Man, we would sit in the evening and watch that show and laugh. Funny, it's all wrapped around majority of funny things happening in common life with common people, a lot of times in a family context. There's so much fun inside a family. Let's make the most of our time with our children. Let's laugh. Let's enjoy life. Let's laugh together and enjoy life together. So let's celebrate our families. Are we celebrating those around us? Are we celebrating our families? Are we celebrating our kids? Are we laughing together? Do we have fun things we like to go do together? My last one, number four, family is a springboard for service. It is a springboard for service. It is a launch pad for ministry. Happy, balanced families don't just care about themselves, they care about those around them. We know the world can be a hard and a difficult place, and the world becomes a better place when people care for other people, when families care for other families. And a family is a springboard for service. That as a family, we can serve another family. As a family, we can make a meal and give it to another family. Or we can go help another family, another household with some chores. There's so many different ways to serve the people around us. Are we bringing our kids up in this way of serving those around us? Or is it simply about serving ourselves? Your family should be a ministry team. A great example of this is 1 Corinthians 16:15. Paul writing to the Corinthians, he said, "You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people." Here was a family that was a ministry team, that as a family, they were serving others. Are we serving those around us? We believe in serving here at Cornerstone Church. We believe that service is one of the greatest calls on our life. Jesus came to serve and not be served. And I love it that we bring our kids in the early years to VBS where they can participate. And when they get older, we still bring them to VBS where they can help serve. We raise our young people up to serve in different areas of the church because we know that passing of the baton is coming and the next generation will pick it up and run with the church and we won't be here forever. And so we purposely, we intentionally raise our young people to serve in the church because they will carry it beyond our lives. You see, there's two powerful influences on this people planet. It's the church and it's the family. Both exist because God created them. Both exist because God desires to demonstrate his love and his forgiveness and his redemption through them. That we are not just witnesses by ourselves, but our family is a testimony to the grace and the mercy of God. And when the church and the family work together, that's, I think, when we are the most powerful. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, and here's the challenge of our day. The challenge of our day is to love the church and to fight for our families. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Notice that Jesus loves the church and he gave his life for the church. And I think we should have a love for the church, and it says a giving of our life for the church. This is the way we've raised our kids. Whether I was pastoring or not pastoring, I've done both. No matter what I was doing for a job, we constantly taught our kids to love the church. In our day and age, the call on our families is to teach our kids to love the church. But there's also a call to fight for our families. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 14, they were rebuilding the wall at Jerusalem and they had kind of stalled out. The enemy was gaining ground and coming, and Nehemiah needed to encourage the people to finish the job to get it done. They were only halfway through. And he says this, he said, "After I looked things over, I stood and I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, 'Don't be afraid of them,'" talking about the enemies that were coming against them, "'remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, and your daughters, and your wives, and your homes.'" Now, we may not be fighting physically, but in a sense, there's a fight spiritually, that we are fighting for our families. We are fighting for right relationships with our spouse. We're fighting for right relationships with our sons and our daughters. We are fighting for right relationships. We don't let conflict, strain, and stresses and differences disengage us from the job that God has given us to do. We fight for our families. There's a lot at stake. We fight for our sons and daughters. We fight for our home. We make relationships a priority. It's not too hard. It's not too difficult. It's too important not to. I'm talking about fighting for our families, not fighting for family values, but valuing our families. And I believe these four keys, if you go to my next slide, I believe these four keys help us move in that direction. So I have to ask you this morning, what's your next step with your family? What do you need to work on out of these four? Is your home a shelter from the storms, or has it become the center of the storm? Do you need to work on making this the shelter, the safe place? What do you need to do as a family? What do you need to do as a parent to make your house a safe place? What about a learning center for life? Have you incorporated Jesus into every day in your life? Is it a learning center? Are you teaching them the values you really want them to have that will carry them through life? What do you need to change about making a learning center for life? What about a place to play? Has it all become about work and getting things done and become too busy? Or is it also a place that you laugh, you sit around and talk, and you go out and have fun and do things together? And also, is it a springboard for serving? Are you serving those around you? Maybe you've been so focused on your family, maybe you need to get out of that and start helping somebody else. Which one of these do you need to work on? Which one of these do you maybe need to have a discussion in your family? Where can we do better? What do we need to work on? What do we need to change in our household? The thing is, we don't have to do these perfectly. We just need to make an honest attempt and work on these, and over time, get better and better. Work these into our family life. Make them a part of our rhythm. And our families will be strong and growing and healthy. Psalm 101 verse 2 says this, I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. Here's the thing. The test of your Christianity is not what you say or do here at church. The real test of your faith in Jesus is not what you say or do in your life group. The real test of your faith is what you do in your home. Do we live a life of integrity in our home, where the people see our strengths and our weaknesses, can see right through our masks? This is where we have to go to be a healthy, strong family. And it could be the key for you to becoming a great parent is simply becoming a godly person. Maybe the changes in your kids that you've been looking for will only come about by the change that needs to happen in you. Maybe what you've been praying for that would be changed in your family will only come about by you allowing God to change you. Could it be that the greatest thing that could happen in your family today would be the change that God does in you? This is where we need to live. This is how we become a strong, healthy family. And let's just lower the bar, because I think sometimes we set this thing out, and I can never do this, I can never attain this. Let's lower the bar. If you go to my next slide. I love this book for one reason, because he says, all I really need to know, I learned in kindergarten. Here's the thing, what we've been talking about today doesn't take a graduate degree. What we're talking about today, we all learned in Sunday school. We learned in the sandbox, not the graduate school. We learned how to share everything. We learned how to play fair. We learned not to hit other people. We learned to put things back where they belong or where we found them. We learned to clean up our mess. We learned to not take things that don't belong to us. We learned to say sorry when we hurt somebody. We learned to wash our hands before eating. We learned how to flush the toilet after going to the bathroom. We learned that warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. I still question that one. We learned that taking naps are a good thing in the middle of the day. I think we should go back to that. We learned that when we go out into the world, we should watch for traffic and hold hands and stick together. All good ideas. And we learned that the golden rule and love and the need to follow Jesus. That the keys to having a healthy family, a thriving family, is not set high in graduate school that we got to attain some degree, but was learned in Sunday school years ago that even our kids at the youngest ages can learn and do, which means that each one of us, the bar is not too high for me, and it's not too high for you. And with God's power, His Spirit, and His Word giving us direction, we can all have healthy, strong families. Not perfect, doesn't mean it's conflict-free, but we always work through it.